It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. Good Monday morning to you, Gil Alexander. AFC Championship yesterday, NFC Championship. We'll try to make sense of all of it. The Bucks and the Chiefs in Super Bowl 55.
It was quite an action-packed Sunday of games and the UFC fight as well.
I don't hear you in my ear, Jason, if you're talking to me. I'm not really sure if this is a situation.
That was quite an action-packed Sunday of games. Nothing?
Well, I don't know if the world hears you.
That was quite an action-packed Sunday of games,
well,
Gil.
Maybe I should start talking because I still don't hear you. Jason Weingarten on the show, still to come. Jason, here's what's happening on the show. We're going to have Chrissy Andrews to start things off to, it's not guessing lines, but it's a Monday morning tradition where we have Chrissy on. So we're going to talk about the games yesterday with Chrissy momentarily. Andy McNeil will be here to talk hockey. And then a couple folks, later on in the show who had varying Tampa Bay Buccaneers futures. Our own Jason Weingarten, Point Spread Weekly contributor, who, you know, had, Tampa Bay futures. He had Tampa Bay Buffalo futures. He had Tampa Bay Kansas City futures. We'll talk to him. And then at the end of the show, Mark DeRosa, who we've had on before. We had him on in the middle of the pandemic. Ed Teach, you may know him from Twitter as Ed Teach. He has some Tampa Bay Buccaneer winners in pocket as already after yesterday. And these guys either didn't hedge at all or barely hedged. We'll talk to them during the show as well. To go for it or not to go for it, we'll do a little autopsy. Well, we'll do an autopsy on both of these games. Let's bring them in. For goodness sakes, let's talk about all of it with my mishpucha, who runs the South Point Sportsbook, right behind us here, the South Point Sportsbook Director, at Andrews Sports. We rarely give his Twitter handle. It's Chrissy Andrews. How you doing, Chris?
Good, Gilly. How are you? Did you survive yesterday?
I survived, yeah. Kansas City did me very well. Kansas City did me very well. Packers didn't, but Kansas City and the in-game opportunities on Kansas City. Yeah. How did you do as a book, and how did you do the night before with UFC 257?
Well, let's start with the night before. We did really well with the UFC, which was fortunate because we lost on everything else on Saturday. So it wasn't a great Saturday. But we wound up with a slight profit thanks to UFC, which we had a pretty good handle on that. And then yesterday we did well. Really, it was just a big grind, Gil. And, you know, I talked to Michael last night, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, he said it, and I went back and looked last year, so the same situation, you know, the two championship games. And we lost pretty good on Sunday. And he said it, and I would tell you the same thing. That seems to be a pattern. It's very hard to win on these days when there's only like two or three games. Like I'm thinking Thanksgiving too. You know, it seems those are tough days for the book. But yesterday we wound up with a very, very good day. Like I said, mostly grind. Futures helped, things like that. So we were very happy with the results yesterday. Personally, I was rolling over. I liked the Bills and the Packers to meet in the Super Bowl, and I was just rolling over a money line parlay the whole way. So I got I got eliminated in both my parlays.
Torpedoed, so, yeah.
There you go.
Michael you refer to is Michael Gaughan, who owns the South Point Hotel Casino.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's interesting about that comment was, you know, when there's few games, but yet Super Bowls you do well, right, generally speaking.
Yeah, generally we have, and I like to remind him, you know, it's not automatic, Michael, that we're going to do well. You know, we've done well, fortunately,
but set it up a little
bit. Yeah. It's still, it's not an automatic thing.
All right, let's get the, you know, this is one of these weekends. Last weekend, it was like Kansas City and Cleveland was so much more interesting than the other three games that it really dominated our Monday. This will probably be the case with Tampa Bay, Green Bay yesterday, so step in whenever you want because there's much to be said. But Tampa Bay gets their first. Tom Brady and the Bucs beat top-seeded Green Bay 31-26, as everybody knows, for the NFC title. Snap Green Bay 7-game winning streak. Packers lose in the NFC Championship game for the fourth time in the last seven seasons. Let's start at the beginning. First of all, 8,500 fans at the game. Chrissy, if there were 8,500 fans, then I had 8,500 people in my apartment. That did not feel like 8,500 fans. Really didn't. 81,000 in that stadium. I get the upper deck, I think, was empty, but still, come on. That was 8,500. Let's start at the very beginning. The coin flip. Green Bay wins the coin flip and decides to defer. Now, I know we're into this thing, and I talk about it with Matt Brown and Danielle Avari and Kelly Bidlin on Primetime Action all the time. We do games. Everybody wants to do the two-for-one at the end of the first half and the beginning of the second half. By the way, it's Gil Alexander, Chris Andrews. This is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Fubo Sling Game Plus, and of course, iHeartRadio, VSiN app, VSiN.com, talking about the championship games for the NFL yesterday, both NFC and AFC. But I get that we all want to do these two-for-ones, and it's a great setup if you can execute it. But I just wanted to throw in the 2 cents from yesterday that sometimes it doesn't really work. And when you kick away at the beginning and the other team immediately matriculates the ball down the field, particularly when it's Tom Brady and the Bucks doing it, with Tom Brady specifically, and you go down 7-0 from the beginning, even though they did tie it at 7 apiece, I just felt like the Packers were in constant swimming upstream mode from the get. And that goes back to the very first thing that happens in a football game, which is the coin flip. So I just want to throw that out just as a sort of beginning thing. Tampa Bay started out 5 for 5 on third downs. First time they were stopped was a sack on their sixth third down attempt. They did go up 7-0. Packers did tie them at 7-7, as I said, and I was all prepared. I was like the beat reporter who was like writing an article as the game was going, seeing, you know, what the narrative would be. I was like 3rd and 15 at their own 5, down 7-0, 23-yarder from Rodgers to Lazard. Let's not forget that play. That's the game changer, right? You sort of write that in the corner. It didn't end up being that. But let's get to it. Late first half. Let's start with the good stuff. Late first half, 2nd and 17 for Green Bay at their own 33. It's 14-10 Tampa Bay at this point. And they're looking to do a 2-for-1, right? But it's 2nd and 17, their own 33. Rodgers, intended pass for Alan Lazard, picked off by Sean Murphy bunting. Clear jersey grab, not called. 3 plays later, still 14-10. It's 3rd and 4 at the Green Bay 45. 18 seconds left in the half. Will Redmond drops an easy interception. Easy interception. Just drops it. Goes through his hands. And so on 4th and 4 with 13 seconds left, Bruce Arians and the Bucks do the right thing. They go for it. Brady to Fournette, 6 yards.
Yeah.
And then 1st and 10 at the Green Bay 39 with 8 seconds left. And by the way, the point that's not being made enough, this was out of a timeout. Out of a timeout. So Green Bay had time to think about, you know, their defensive formation.
Yeah.
One safety deep, slow to get over, and the corner just gets toasted by Scotty Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Brady. Yeah. Brady.
He had a bad day.
Yeah. Kevin King had a terrible day.
Yeah.
He had a terrible day. 21-10, 1 second left. We have the Michael Lombardi tweet on this. This is Michael Lombardi losing his ever-loving mind on this. Jason's telling me, hold up. But basically, Lombardi was saying that was as bad to him, that was as bad as the Jets going cover zero against the Raiders in the famous Henry Ruggs, anybody who had Raiders in Survivor survives game. Not quite the same thing, because this was one safety deep, but I get the sentiment. Just absolutely terrible. So then the Packers do get the ball, down 21-10 to start the second half. Aaron Jones, short third down pass. He catches it, takes a huge hit from Jordan Whitehead that knocked the ball loose. Devin White recovers, ran 21 yards to the Green Bay 8. 1 play later, Brady found a wide-open Cameron Brate to extend the lead to 28-10, yeah. And it started to feel like their Week 6 game all over again. By the way, here's the Lombardi tweet. Can we show that, Jason? That's as bad a call by Patine as Greg Williams made. It's the Packers' defensive coordinator. Coaching malpractice at the highest level. LaFleur should have stopped it, but it's a subcontracting deal in Green Bay. What were you thinking at that point? 21-10 and then 28-10, Chrissy.
Well, I hate to bring this up, but I did think about this at the time. Do you remember the Jack Squirek play
in
the Super Bowl?
How dare you?
I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I owe you big time for that. But that was the play that rang in my brain. You know, for those who probably weren't alive when that game was played, the Redskins were down 14-3, had the ball kind of deep in their own territory. Joe Theismann goes back to pass. You know, and I know you love Joe Gibbs. That was a horrible call.
Yeah, it was the rocket screen. They called it the rocket screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where he was going at. Anyway, Jack Squirek intercepts on, I believe, is the last play of the half. And it went from 14-3 to 21-3 and essentially ended the game.
Yeah.
And that was the play that flashed in my mind. And I knew it was going to come up today, and I said, man, I'm going to hate to do this to Gil. But, you know, the truth speaks for itself. What can you say? But that's what I thought of.
Yeah.
You know?
And, intended for Joe Washington, never quite made it there, and it was plastered all over Sports Illustrated. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jack Squire, a very mediocre player, really, but had one of the huge plays in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, Super Bowl 18, that was the L.A. Raiders who beat the Washington football team, who at that time had won 36 of their last 42 games, and apparently were partying it up in Tampa all week and didn't really show for that one. Anyway, Chrissy, returning to this game yesterday.
Sorry.
What a horrible memory. So it's 28-10 at this point. Not a single flag, by the way, in this game had been thrown till 7:49 left in the third quarter. Talking about the Packers and the Bucks yesterday. Not a single flag.
Yeah.
Green Bay had gone down after 28-10. They did get a touchdown to go up 28-17. By the way, there was the first flag that was thrown was on that drive. There was an offsides on Tampa Bay. But like I had said, they didn't call the Sean Murphy bunting grab of Alan Lazard's jersey on the PI. The Packers... left or right tackle, I can't remember, was false starting the entire game. They didn't call it. There was like a delay of game on the Packers at one point that should have been a delay of game, I should say. That was like a second and a half after the clock went to zero. No flags. Like, they just were keeping flags in their pocket. This is obviously a portent of what's to come. Okay, so then the Packers make it 28-23. And they go for two. They go for two. By the way, on the drive that made it 28-23, Devontae Adams caught a ball like the 3-yard line. Devin White helmet to helmet. They flag it, and Rashard Higgins had to be somewhere going, "Oh, now this week you call this stuff." Okay, I gotcha. So 28-23, they decide to go for two. Ndamukong Suh just gets a fingertip on the pass, just enough to throw off the timing where Devontae Adams can't catch it. So they're still down five. The Packers were missing David Bakhtiari all game. Like, it really showed up yesterday. Shaq Barrett was all over the field. And even though Tampa Bay ultimately almost squandered an 18-point lead, Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul, they combined for five sacks. So it's 31-23. We'll get down to the bottom here. Final drive. Bucks up 31-23. It's first and goal at the Tampa Bay 8 with 2:22 left. Two incompletes. And then on third down... Rodgers looks like he can run it in or at least get to the two.
Yes, he did.
Or like the two. I mean, like that was, I was like, what are you, oh my God, what a decision that was. And he throws it, you know, wide to Devontae again. And then there's the decision heard around the world. Fourth and goal at the eight, down eight again, 31-23, 2:05 left. And Matt LaFleur decides we're going to kick a 26-yard field goal. I sort of sarcastically tweet, I mean, you have to cut it to five there. And so that's what they did. I mean, this is what gets us crazy on this show again, because we're betting on this stuff. And this was just a series of head scratchers. So, and we'll get to, by the way, we'll get to the analytics on this later, because the analytics case is that it actually was incrementally good to kick that field goal. I can't wait to hear your reaction to that, Chrissy. But fourth and goal at the eight, down eight, they kick the field goal. Then Green Bay kicks off, down five. Keep in mind, it's north of the 2-minute warning. Jaden Mickens of the Bucks decides to slide, which means there's still 2:02 left on the clock, so he's doing the Packers a favor by still keeping it north of the 2-minute warning. Packers still have all three timeouts. You're like, oh, that was stupid. And then Tampa Bay, 9-yard pickup on first down, Brady to Evans. Green Bay then, on the south side, now it's the 2-minute warning, Green Bay smartly takes an offsides on purpose, which is smart to just give them the first down to reset the three timeout thing. Tampa Bay stupidly doesn't decline it. What's that, four things in a row? I just said four things. Field goal, slide, offsides was good. Doesn't decline it. Oh, my God. Then after two rushes and two timeouts, third and four with 1:46 left, Green Bay's Kevin King, who did not have a good day, commits the PI on a pass intended for Tyler Johnson. Now, here's the thing. It was absolutely a PI. But the flag came hella late. Like, really late. And then there's a lot of people who say, you know, look, you just said it. There were no flags all game long. They decided to throw one there. So, but make no mistake, it was definitely a penalty. But it was strange because all game long, referees seemed to make a concerted decision not to call penalties, and there they did. In the end, I'll throw it to you here, Christy, what you thought about the fourth and two, because I felt numb after this game. It felt like an unsatisfying end for all the reasons stated.
Yeah, you know, first of all, let's go back to that field goal. And I know some of the, the quant guys were telling you, that it was correct. And I'm looking here, a guy who's tweeted you and I a couple of times, Raj Bhatti.
Yes.
Usually has some pretty smart comments. And he refers to Matthew Davidow's quote. Well, by the way, Matthew Davidow, I don't know him real well, but I know him a little bit. Really smart guy.
Miller
have one of the great books.
Yeah.
They have one of the great books. Anyway, here's Davidow's tweet. Green Bay gains 2.5% win chance, 27.5 versus 25% by kicking the field goal, fourth and goal from the eight. Been a while since field goal was correct, but LaFleur nails it. Okay, now Raj answers, how many of the models that split out these win percentages had Tom Brady as a quarterback on the opposing team? And then he asks you and I to talk about it, which I guess we are. So good job, Raj. Anyway, I think I think he makes a really valid point, kind of like what you made on the opening kickoff. Who's the opposing quarterback? Who's the opposing team? You know, what's the entire situation? So we get some of these blanket, percentages and, the win chances, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not sure. Well, matter of fact, I'm just about positive. They don't take into account who's the other quarterback, and who's the other team, so you did give Brady that first kick, the first possession of the game. I mean, Atlanta's still waiting to get the ball back in that one Super Bowl, when Brady got it, And here, I was writing, and probably listeners of the show know I'm writing a book about, 1 year in the life of a bookmaker. So I was writing my book yesterday in real time as this was going on. And I said, I don't think they ever get the ball back again after that. And of course they didn't, and it was, it's Tom Brady. And, I was slow to get on the Brady is the GOAT thing. But man, if you're asking him to just milk 2 minutes out of a clock, I mean, is there another guy you'd want to do it? So I don't think that was the proper call there. Boy, you have to cut it to five.
You just got to cut it to five there. It's so funny, no matter how many times you do something like that, there's always two people that take you literally. They're like, what are you talking about? Here's the Matthew Davidow tweet. And Matthew and Ed have both been on the show, The Logic of Sports Betting. I have the utmost respect for him. Here's this from their model. Green Bay gains 2.5% win chance, 27.5% versus 25% by kicking a field goal fourth and goal from eight. Been a while since field goal was correct, but LaFleur nails it. Someone else made a good point afterwards. They're like, for the people who say the Brady thing, it would only be consistent if you then say, well, what do you mean? But if you tied it up, you still have to stop Brady. So it would apply to that as well. My point with it was, there was nothing about this game that lended to the Packers being a lock to ever get down that close again. And that was, for me, it's like, you got to take the shot to tie it there. Drew Dinsick, who we also respect, had a response to this, and I'm with Drew. Drew's response was, and Drew's a great analytics guy too. He's like, call me old fashioned. I would have gone for it. That's how I kind of feel about it. It's like, I respect your model. I'm not sure that I'm with it in this particular case, and that's what makes these discussions very interesting. There it is. He said, call me old-fashioned, but I would have gone for it on fourth and goal. So it's an interesting discussion. By the way, of course, now with the Tampa Bay win, they're home for the Super Bowl. Host team of the Super Bowl has never happened in 54 previous games. Bucks are the third Tampa team to play for a championship during this pandemic. The Lightning win the Stanley Cup. The Rays lost to the Dodgers in the World Series. Here are the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. And with this Super Bowl, Tom Brady's 10th, he will have been in 18% of all Super Bowls. 18%. It's mind-boggling. We have a couple tweets just to put it in context. Do we have these, Jason? He's won as many NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers. He has won as many NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's nuts to go through it all. He ends up 20 of 36 for 280, three touchdowns, three picks, sacked once. Godwin, 5 for 110. Evans, 3 for 51, a touchdown. Miller, 2 for 36 at a touchdown. Rodgers, 33 of 48 for 346 in defeat. Rodgers, 1 and 4 now in conference championship games as a starting quarterback. Packers had the NFL's best red zone offense this season, but they twice settled for field goals after having a first and goal at the 6 in the second quarter, then settled for field goal to make it 14-10, and of course the fourth and goal at the 8, which we were just talking about. And then twice in the fourth quarter, the Packers got the ball with a chance to take the lead after Jair Alexander picked off Brady passes deep in Green Bay territory. Both times, the Packers went 3 and out. Can we show those tweets as well, Jason? The one with Aaron Rodgers Tom Brady contextually, how many playoffs? And just really a great summation, that last point. With all this stuff we want to talk about, you know, the refs or the decision not to go for it, in the end, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were given opportunity after opportunity. I know they were deep in their own territory, but that's really the story, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll come
back. That's what I was writing at the time. I said Brady, I thought, really did play well. Although, if you look at some of the raw statistics, three interceptions, he must have been terrible. He really was not.
Yeah.
But they were supposed to take those three interceptions and turn them into at least 14 points. Yeah. You got one of the great quarterbacks of all time. You have to convert those plays.
Chrissy, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Want to put this in more context. And eventually we'll get to Buffalo and Kansas City, although I don't have nearly as much to say about that, quite frankly. We're coming back right here on the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With the football playoffs and basketball and hockey games every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. We're at Mandalay Bay every Saturday and Sunday. Check us out down there. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. As always, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chris Andrews. Chrissy, we might have to go an extra segment. Hope you don't mind. Much to discuss.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Here's a tweet.
Hey, before we go further. Okay, I have a little objection to the first time that a team is playing at home. Technically true. However, the 49ers-Dolphins game was played in Stanford Stadium, what's Palo Alto, 20 miles down the coast from San Francisco?
Yep.
I mean, that was a home game for the 49ers. And I was booking back then with a lot of Niners fans, and I needed the Dolphins pretty good. So I know that was a home game for San Francisco, even though it was played in Palo Alto.
Yeah, 20 minutes without traffic. 50 minutes with traffic. But yes, it is absolutely that was the de facto home game. You're absolutely right. Niners, Dolphins, Palo Alto, California, by the way, where the sky is crystal clear. It's an amazing place.
It's a beautiful college town.
Oh, absolutely. There's Jason. Come on, everybody. Yeah. All right, so I mentioned Tom Brady has now won as many NFC championships as has Aaron Rodgers. Here's Dirk Chatelain putting it in context as well. Ready for an amazing stat? Career postseason wins over NFC teams. Career postseason wins over NFC teams. Marinate on that for a second. Favre, 12. Rodgers, 10. Montana, 10. Brady, 9. That's ridiculous. That, of course, meaning his 6 Super Bowls and the 3 wins this postseason.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. This is ridiculous. First time as a wild card team. And now the fallout with Rodgers here on this, and we can just get into this for a second. Pro Football Talk saying, and we know about Matthew, this weekend already, Matthew Stafford is up for grabs. He's donezo with the Lions. Well, Aaron Rodgers, and we can throw up this tweet, Pro Football Talk saying he's in play. This talk from Aaron Rodgers after this game, top potential Aaron Rodgers destinations in 2021, Niners, Patriots, Steelers, Raiders, Colts, Saints. Wow. Each one of those would be explosive. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Anyway.
Steeler sounds good to me. I don't know.
You know, you didn't like the Dwayne Haskins signing, Chrissy? I thought you would be excited about that.
Not particularly. No, I did not. Yeah. No.
Here's the, that's such a kick the tires kind of signing. Andy Herman is echoing what we were just saying in the first segment, too. Andy Herman, NFL. The Packers, you know, say all we will about the refs or the decision to kick the field goal. We can, you know, we can go down that rabbit hole for 2 hours. But ultimately, and here's what Andy Herman wrote, the Packers were down five with 24 seconds left in the third quarter. The Packers were down five with 24 seconds left in the third quarter. They would go on to allow only three more points and intercept Tom Brady two more times. I would have expected a Green Bay win in that scenario 95 times out of 100. I agree. And yes, a couple of those picks, a couple of those three. By the way, only the second time in Tom Brady's career where he threw picks on three consecutive possessions. Two of those were like punts. I get it. There's the Jay King tweet about Tom Brady having won as many NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, I mean, for me, and again, Kansas City, a three-point favorite, in the Super Bowl, teetering on 3.5 because it's three extra juice against the Buccaneers. I am of the mind, Chrissy, that Tampa Bay is very fortunate this week for all the reasons stated, and obviously with the +4 last week, very lucky as well. I've already bet the Chiefs.
I'm with you, and I said the exact same thing. You know, Drew Brees, you know, last week played horribly. And, you know, they skated by, you know, they weren't dominant. And yesterday, they easily could have, you know, a reasonably efficient performance by an Aaron Rodgers team would have given Green Bay a victory. But, you know, they have nobody to blame but themselves, Green Bay. You know, the refs call and all that other crap. Yeah, of course. But, you know, Tampa gave them opportunities. They couldn't capitalize on it. You better not give this kid, Mahomes, too many opportunities because, man, do they have some weapons. And early in the game, I said, if they're going to give this kid this much time, he's going to pick that defense apart, which is exactly what he did.
Yeah. Aaron Schatz and I, the creator of Football Outsiders, had a little debate on a Megapod like week 14-ish or something like that where I was like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs just seemed to, like, you know, play possum.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'd be very careful about that because, you know, you're just allowing that because it's the Chiefs. I'm going to have him on this week because I'm curious where he stands on that right now. We'll come back. Let's do one more segment, Chrissy. Yeah. Let's do one more segment because we'll talk Buffalo and Kansas City and UFC 257 as well on the way right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
We're gearing up for the big game here at VSiN and, of course, keeping you up to date on every other sports betting opportunity on the board. This week, we've updated our programming lineup, the Lombardi Line, now 2 hours every weekday right after this show from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. And we are excited to introduce The Nuts. That's with a Z, with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw at 2 p.m. Eastern every weekday. Mike Palm will make an appearance on this show today. Let's talk about that for 5 good minutes. This weekend, we also have our special big game preview show with Brent Musburger to get you ready for all the Super Bowl betting and prop action. You can always find our lineup on VSiN.com or your daily VSiN subscriber email, and make sure to check out The Nuts weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Chris Felica texting both Chrissy and I saying, another fun postseason fact, Dan Marino has as many Super Bowl victories as the three of us do. Interesting. Wizard.
Ouch.
There's so many of these you can do, right? If you go down. Because he brought up the Niners Dolphins Super Bowl. Wizard of Odds underscore 777. Hey, Gil, Aaron Rodgers is as much to blame as the coach. All Aaron had to say was that he wanted to go for it, and they would have gone for it. I can't argue with that. Las Vegas 514. Yo, tell your mishpucha, Chrissy, thanks for that horrible memory of Jack Squirek interception. Jeez.
like I said, I needed Washington that day too, really big. So,
Jim Murphy, Gil, didn't you recently have someone on your show that said, "Always do what your opponent doesn't want you to do"? I think that's kind of me all these years with Truth Serum. Also, no, Brady has been a starter in the NFL for 20 seasons, 50% going to the Super Bowl. Yes, Absolutely. If you were a Tampa Bay backer, you did not want Green Bay going for it. Couldn't agree more. That's a basketball one. John Anthony, too. I know there's a lot of football to dissect, but LeBron James is down to 7.5-1 at my offshore book for MVP behind Doncic, Giannis, and KD.
That's a very good bet.
And then Jeff Rowe Records. I like that that handle. Jeff Rowe Records. The Bucks beat the Packers because they did what Green Bay does well better. Tampa Bay dialed up and executed shot plays early. I'm not sure what he meant there. Got out to a big first half lead, held on. Green Bay's thing all year was good early game scripting and A. Rodgers throwing daggers if opponent got close. And on, we appreciate all the feedback at Beating the Book. Oh, for the record, one more. This is from Primetime. Cowboys underscore Cubs won. Super Bowl 14 was played at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, which is a Bryson driver from L.A. whose Rams lost to Chrissy's Steelers outfit. You remember that one as well. Okay, real quick.
And like I told him, I replied, I was at that game and I forgot that that was in L.A.
That's the only Super Bowl I've ever attended was Minneapolis. The worst possible, you know, in terms of no beaches. But they were great hosts for the Washington crushing of Buffalo. Not close to home at all. Buffalo at Kansas City. I don't have nearly as much to say about this game yesterday, Chrissy, but, you know, Casey starts the game with their first three and out on a first drive all year. Buffalo goes up 3-0. I in-gamed KC. They go up 9-0. Yeah. I in-gamed KC. And that was that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really that. You know, next thing you know, 38-24, and it was kind of ho-hum. I don't know if the stage was too big for Josh Allen. It wasn't his best game in terms of decisions. He had a spectacular year. So did Sean McDermott. But just like we said about Kevin Stefanski, and I know, you know, you sort of recoiled a little bit because I think you're right. You know, you don't want to say this certainly about guys who had great seasons. Wasn't Sean McDermott's best game yesterday either, right? Just like it wasn't Stefanski's best game last week. Fourth and goal at the KC 2, 11 seconds left in the first half, down 21-9. Kick a field goal, 21-12. I didn't have an objection to that at the time, but others did. Fourth and three at the KC 8, 5:49 left in the third quarter. They're down 24-12. They kick a field goal, make it 24-15. That one I did have a problem with. And then fourth quarter, down 17, 38-21. They score. They go for two with 4:08 left. They wanted to go from 17 to 15. I'm not really sure about the math there. So, I mean, there was just a few things. But in the end, Allen had some bad decisions. He only ran the ball 7 times for 88 yards. I mean, he was great when he ran. I wish they had run more to make it more competitive. Not for my bets, but if you're backing Buffalo, I felt bad for our buddy Nick Mackay. But Buffalo was 5 of 14 on third downs. You're not beating Kansas City with that third down conversion rate. And Kansas City, Chrissy, and I'll leave it at this, they had 9 total possessions, really only 8 because the 9th ended the first half with one play. So it's really 8 possessions. 8 possessions, 38 points. I mean, what else do you really need to know? Mahomes, 325 yards passing, 172 of them to Hill, and 13 catches and 118 yards and 2 touchdowns for Kelce. Mahomes has lost one game since November 2019, and by more than one score since his junior year at Texas Tech at Iowa State in 2016. Get ready for 2 weeks of Brady versus Mahomes. What do you got to say, Chrissy?
Yeah. All right. Here's what I got to say. I mean, looking back, go down, scroll down. If it would go to the box score, scroll down to the defensive part of the box score. They hit, well, first of all, Josh Allen got sacked 4 times for 53 yards. Well, that's a lot. Besides the sacks, the number of yards. Then look at the quarterback hits. 10 hits on Josh Allen. I mean, and you go look at Mahomes. He got technically sacked 1 time, but for 0 yards. Then they had 3 quarterback hits on Mahomes. I said the very first drive, I forget who was in my office at the time, but I said, man, if they're giving Mahomes this kind of time, you could forget about it. This game's going to be over. And they pretty much did. You know, he has so many weapons. If you give him anything more than 2 seconds, he's going to pick you apart. And, you know, they did. And, you know, we can make a lot of things about Buffalo. But that was, I think, the Kansas City offensive line. They got Steven Wisniewski sitting on the bench when the one guy got hurt. I mean, that's a really good offensive line. You know, so, I mean, they protected Mahomes. And, you know, that was, I think that was a huge key to the game. So.
Yeah, and it's just, he's the human cheat code, Patrick Mahomes. He's the human cheat. You just see a game like that, you're like, yep, They're the Super Bowl champions for a reason. And we're going to get 2 weeks now of Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes talk. Obviously, we'll do Super Bowl props in between. We'll do a whole bunch of stuff. But it's 2 weeks in the mainstream media of that. And Tony Romo likened it yesterday. He's like, imagine, guys, this is like LeBron playing Michael Jordan, right? The greatest of now.
Yeah.
Versus the GOAT, the greatest of all time, as the kids say, GOAT. We had a different definition for GOAT when we were kids. But this is that. And in the end, we couldn't ask for more, man. And I'm looking forward to it. Again, like I said, I already bet KC. I didn't get as good juice as is available now. I bet KC minus 119, full disclosure, yesterday. So I'm already in. I'm already in. And you would expect this to be the largest handle ever, I would imagine?
Well, I got to tell you, yesterday's handle was the largest handle ever for a conference championship. I'm not sure, Gil, because, you know, don't forget all the parties and stuff like that we have every year in Las Vegas. That's pretty much gone.
Oh, true.
This year. So true. That may affect the handle. I think that has that. I'm not expecting a record this year. I'm not.
All right. Chrissy, I love spending Monday mornings with you, man. I will never take it for granted.
Always a pleasure.
We appreciate it very much on behalf of everybody. We'll do it again here in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure.
Sounds good.
All right. Sure. Chris Andrews, everybody. Author of Then One Day. Available where all books are sold as well. Get your copy. Coming back, Andy McNeil with a hockey cautionary tale in UFC 257 next.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on the Lakers or Cavaliers to hit a three. Simply sign up and use bonus code VSIN100. Start the year off right at BetMGM. Just download the app today. It won't take you more than a few minutes. And, downloading won't take you more than a few seconds. Then use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Lakers or Cavs to hit a three. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Andy McNeil standing by. A hockey cautionary tale. We'll get to that in just a couple of seconds. More than a couple seconds. Let's say 90 seconds. I just want to mention UFC 257 this weekend because we had a whole bunch of guests talking about it last week. What an underdog fest that ended up being. We had multiple guests who loved Dan Hooker. Nope. Michael Chandler just destroyed him.
I lost on that one.
That was one of those where, like, as they're coming into the ring, you look at their faces, you're like, oh, we're on the wrong side of this
mistake
one.
Mistake that was.
We are on the wrong. We weren't the only ones. Hooker got steamed.
A lot of people had Michael Hooker handicapped.
Hooker got steamed. I think it then barely at the end went back the other way. There was a lot. There was Roundtree got beat. And then, of course, the main event. Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor. Dustin Poirier with the leg kicks that weakened Conor McGregor and then just goes after him in round two and cashes as a big dog. The only, you know, listen, it was great entertainment. Conor McGregor was super sportsmanlike about it afterwards. We'll see if they fight a third time because McGregor had beaten him the first time.
First time he'd ever been knocked out, McGregor.
Yeah, man. Sleeping. Or he looked like he was with the arm the way it was. But I will just say this. To me, the big story of the night was the difficulty of getting this. I was among tens of thousands of people, if not more. Hundreds. You just couldn't get this thing. You bought it. It didn't matter what browser you used if you were on a laptop. It didn't matter if you were on ESPN Plus. I was like, well, surely I'll be able to get it on my phone, on my ESPN Plus app. Nope, that didn't work. It finally started working the fight before, the Hooker-Chandler fight. So in the end, those of us who paid whatever we paid, a lot of us just got to see the two fights. And by the way, even when we got there, it was glitchy. in the end, it's like the first 3 seconds and it would cut off. Then it was a nightmare getting into watching this fight. So, I mean, the big thing for me is, you know, you're not going to attract new fans with that arrangement anymore because the technology ain't up to snuff.
Hopefully they give a big refund out to everybody. It would be good PR for them if that was the case.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't hold my breath.
Not holding my breath
not
either.
Not holding my breath.
But, you know, it would be a good idea, I would think.
Let's talk to Andy McNeil. He's up in Edmonton, Alberta, and he's kind enough to join us multiple times a week. We have him by the Alexander Graham Bell's invention of the telephone today. We have him on Skype. There he is. There he is. At Digital Gambler. I'm sorry. I got thrown off. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Andy McNeil. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I've been following your pick, your hockey season. Knock on wood, going very well here at the beginning. I would call it very well. Don't be modest. I know I can already feel you wanting to push back on that.
Look, it's not that I'm you know, somebody made a comment to me last night like, "Hey, be happy you won," and I know it's not that. I just never get ahead of myself. That's all.
It's not in your nature. That's
very tempered response. Very yeah.
Well, that's very healthy. I should say that. From a handicapping perspective, that's very healthy.
It's not healthy whatsoever.
Not for your own health, but for just a general healthy approach to it, I suppose. You write for New York Post every week, and it's great stuff. And I love the stuff that's, you know, people are always like, oh, give me this pick, give me that pick. I like the stuff that's broader because I think you can learn bigger lessons from it. And, you know, this applies to other sports as well, but certainly something you've noticed in hockey here in the short term.
Yeah, for sure. And in regards to giving out picks, there's a reason I don't give out picks on Twitter or elsewhere. I mean, I'll talk about them on the air here when I'm talking to you guys because it's a perfect place to do it. But I don't really like to do the picks because it's so hard. I mean, you know it. You get my hockey picks pretty frequently, and it's not always easy to get down in a timely. You have to be quick. they're not timeless, that's for sure. So I try to write things that are timeless a little bit, that somebody can actually read and get some value out of going forward, get some insight. And that's what I tried to do here. I've noticed, you know, a lot of bettors try to make their mark picking low-hanging fruit. You might be waiting for an injury, injury news to hit Twitter and jumping on the side that looks to benefit, or, you know, waiting for a team like the Washington Capitals to put a rushing quartet of superstars on the COVID-19 protocol list. And that's, that's can yield some pretty good results if you're getting the best of the number and you're ahead of the news. But if you're just strolling into the sports book after the markets have already been shaped by news and narratives and whatever, you might want to consider a contrarian approach. And that's not betting against the public per se or looking at bet percentages. I don't put a whole lot of stock into that stuff. In fact, I don't put any stock into that stuff. But, you know, there's some examples from the past week in hockey that we can look at and maybe draw some insights from and look to the future to maybe bet against conventional wisdom, right? Instead of just following it blindly into every game. First up, we had the Washington Capitals. Like I said, they had four important players, including their starting goaltender, Ilya Samsonov, Alex Ovechkin, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Dmitry Orlov, defenseman, placed into COVID-19 protocol. And, you know, everybody rushed to bet the Sabres. There wasn't even a lineup yet. So the bookmakers already had an advantage there. They were able to price the game without those players in it, presumably, or what they thought it would be. And it was, you know, put up around, I think, -120, maybe, or maybe a little bit higher. The Capitals were about a +110 underdog when the line went up. By midnight on the eve of game day, that's Thursday night, by midnight Eastern time, you could get the Capitals at +125. The Sabres, they closed the small favorite, but nowhere near that -150 that we saw overnight. So it's important to remember that, you know, shaping or the overnight markets are shaped by smaller bets. So there's, you know, potential to capitalize on some of those reactions.
And Washington ends up winning in a shootout. But the point being, whether they did or not, that applies.
Yeah, and I don't want to cherry pick, and I'm not doing it because of results or anything like that. It's just, these are some good examples, and like, it's not a winning losing thing. It's just, you know, here's how the market kind of behaves on a game to game basis. And here's, you know, you either have to be on this side of it when it's moving in one direction, or you've got to be considering the other side when it's already kind of settled or just pass altogether. Right. So,
yeah.
You know, moving on, we had a different situation on Friday. The Leafs and the Oilers, they're playing their second game of a set. You know, and it's announced that Austin Matthews isn't going to be suiting up for the Maple Leafs that night. So naturally, the line started to move in favor of the Oilers, you know, pretty heavily. But I think there was already a lot of speculation in the line. And that's another thing that people have to remember. The betting markets in general are very speculative. And, you know, the bettors like myself already assumed or had a pretty good idea that Austin Matthews was not going to play. And we were pricing the game, you know, we thought the game was priced appropriately. So then there was this huge move towards the Oilers, and I grabbed the Maple Leafs at -125. They won the game. You know, that's good, but I beat the closing number. I got a great number. That's the point, right? So, you know, don't assume that information isn't already priced into the line, because that can be dangerous as well.
It's all in the New York Post, Andy's forthcoming piece in the New York Post. And I just want to go back to something you said at the beginning, because that's your article is about that and people overreacting to that kind of news. It's never quite that easy, boys and girls, with betting. If it were only that easy, right? But something you said at the beginning, I think, is the biggest thing that we could possibly say. And I'm not sure even if we stop and reemphasize it, if even 5% of people listening are going to pay heed to it, but we'll try, which is, you know, we have by nature of this content, listen, I love and I appreciate everybody who listens, you know, but we have hours to fill. So we're going to talk about games like in football. We're going to talk about, you know, our betting thoughts heading into games. We're going to talk about what happened. We fill hours of content with that kind of thing. But when it comes to betting and actually winning at betting, so much of it is a moment in time and different ways to bet. I talk about it in other sports, how we're going to talk about, you know, people are going to talk about pre-flop ATS. Like, that's the construct everybody's been sort of conditioned to talk about. But there's so many other derivative markets, and there's so many other ways, in-game and otherwise, to bet things. Things that that people like to sound smart about and shun, like, oh, don't bet those money line parlays. Well, I can tell you in tennis, I do it all the time, and it's a fabulous vehicle. Like, you can never think you know everything. There's no one way to do it and not a way to do it. And I think that's a great point you made, which is, listen, some of these bets, we could talk about a game for an hour, but the moment to bet it is this one little moment in time. And if you're not there at that moment, it's not a good bet anymore. So I just throw that out there. I don't know if there's a reaction to that, but that's the key. And what would you estimate is the percentage of people who will listen to that and be like, huh, I think I will practice that moving forward?
I think it's very small, but you know that's what I'm doing it for. I think yeah. I'm trying to give that advice to the person that is going to listen to it. Hopefully, more people than I estimate will listen to it. But and you know, just to bring up another example, I actually did bet the Maple Leafs in yesterday's game against the Flames after it was announced that Matthews would be in the lineup, because I felt the line was accounting for not accounting for that. So
right.
And the market moved in that direction. So I mean, it goes both ways. It's just it's a case by case basis. That's why it's so hard to say, oh yeah, just bet the team if Matthews is out, right?
Yeah. And again, it's not cherry picking based on result here. It is really the point, the broader point that needs to be made. I'm assuming no hockey picks right now at this moment in time, correct?
Tough spot for the Canucks as far as rest goes tonight, but I think the line is pretty accurate.
Okay. All right, Andy, we'll talk again this week, yes?
For sure.
All right, Andy McNeil, our hockey analytics expert. We'll come back. We'll read more tweets. Great feedback this morning. Jason Weingarten, Mike Palm. Jason, sitting on Bucks futures and already won some. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.